Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court scrutinizes the obstruction charges in the January 6th case. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case of Fisher versus United States, where a January 6th defendant is appealing the government's use of an evidence destruction law to criminally charge him for entering the U.S. Capitol, where he says he was exercising his First Amendment rights to assemble, speak, and petition.
You know, Joseph Wayne Fisher is a former police officer who has been charged with corruptly, and that's their term, obstructing an official proceeding, namely the joint session of Congress that was convened and later recessed on January 6, 2021, to certify the 2020 election. And he states that he briefly entered the U.S. Capitol building after Congress had recessed, and the obstruction charge was dismissed by a district court judge, but was later reinstated by the D.C. Court of Appeals. And so now the High Court has heard the oral arguments, and now they're weighing whether this law being used to charge Fisher with obstruction is really appropriate in this case.
Yeah, so the law basically, or the case really hinges on two parts of the obstruction law and how they work together. The law in question is Section 1512C of the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act, a document-shredding prohibition which grew out of the collapse of the Enron Corporation. Fisher contends the federal government is exceeding the scope of 1512C, in which the first part makes it a crime to fraudulently destroy corporate financial records. Specifically, the law makes it a felony to corruptly, that's why they use the word corruptly, alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal a record, document, or other object with the intent to undermine an official proceeding.
And, you know, this makes no sense, Matt, that they would use this unless they're trying to get a longer prison sentence.
Well, that's exactly right. So clearly the first part has nothing to do with January 6th.
Right.
So the second part of the statute applies to anyone who, quote, otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding. The law authorizes up to 20-year prison sentence for violators. Currently, the Justice Department has charged nearly 330 individuals, including President Donald Trump, under this law for obstruction of Congress. Now, in this case, the first part clearly applies to destroying corporate financial records while you're trying to undermine an official proceeding.
The second part
is attached to that. It's not something totally unrelated to this law. The law grew out of the Enron Corporation, where Enron was being investigated by federal agencies. Enron is a publicly traded company. It has to provide information about its finances. Under SEC laws, Securities and Exchange Commission is the agency that regulates, oversees these kinds of situations. And so Enron was misrepresenting its financial picture. It was involved in corruption. It was involved in financial problems. So Enron either had documents shredded or they falsified financial documents while they're under investigation to obstruct that particular proceeding. Then this Sarbanes-Oxley Act comes into existence. Anybody who corruptly does that, where they're trying to conceal, mutilate, destroy, alter a document that is a financial corporate record with the intent of undermining an official proceeding, can be charged under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. So now you got the second part, and they go by the second part. The second part says it applies to anyone who otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes an official proceeding. Now, it's in the context of the corporate fraud. And so the lower court judge dismissed the charge brought by the Department of Justice, saying this has nothing to do with documents.
That's what
or
I
corporate
say.
Fraud.
I know. What documents are you talking about?
So the Department of Justice appealed it to the District Court of Appeals, as you said, Holly. And in a 2-1 decision, they reversed and upheld the Department of Justice's argument. The dissenting judge, however, agreed with the lower court judge. This has nothing to do with January 6th. And so now this case is before the U.S. Supreme Court. And in this case, some of the arguments that were brought and presented by the Solicitor General, Biden's Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogar, she is a very good oral advocate, and she takes on a lot of the high-profile cases. She is the Solicitor General for the Biden administration.
Yeah, she did the abortion pill case, I believe, for the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. So she says that the word otherwise simply means in a different manner or is not limited to just evidence impairment, but rather is a catch-all that covers, quote, all other acts that obstruct an official proceeding in a different manner, close quote. Now, listen to that. It's not tied to evidence impairment. It applies to, quote, all other acts that obstruct an official proceeding in a different manner, close quote. That's the position taken by the Department of Justice, by the Biden administration.
But how can they just take a law, pull it out of the sky, and say, we're going to apply it to the situation because we want to keep these people in jail for 20 years or whatever?
Well, so Justice...
How does that work?
some of the justices really came back and asked her some questions that I think were problematic in terms of how she responded. Both Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Thomas asked the Solicitor General whether the law had been used before January 6 in cases that did not involve spoiling physical documents. Had it ever been used outside of destroying evidence of these corporate documents? She says, quote, I can't give you an example of enforcing it in a situation where people have violently stormed a building in order to prevent an official proceeding. But that's just because I'm not aware of that circumstance ever happening prior to January 6th. Really?
But yet we're using this law
really
to prosecute him.
So what happened with Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Didn't they try to obstruct official proceedings?
Well, what about Justice Kavanaugh and his confirmation hearings and those paid actors went in there and disturbed the meetings?
Yeah, what about that? Was the Sarbanes-Oxley Act used? No. What about the pro-Palestinian / Hamas protesters that entered the Capitol in 2024
mm-hmm.
to try to shut down official proceedings? Was that used? No. You know, justices also asked the Solicitor General, and this is Justice Gorsuch, for example, and I'll quote him, would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address?
Mm.
Justice Gorsuch also asked, would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
And that actually happened recently.
It did, and it was a Democrat that did that
yep.
on purpose.
Yep.
Now, Prelogar actually said that, you know, what about when she was asked the people outside that didn't enter the U.S. Capitol, but they're assembling outside, the protesters that are outside, but they never entered the Capitol. What happens to them? Could 1512C be used against them? And she said, yes, it depends upon whether they have criminal intent. You mean so by gathering there for First Amendment activity, those that never entered the Capitol, they could also be charged because if somehow you could argue that they had criminal intent to interfere with an ongoing official proceeding? If this law is not struck down as it relates to January 6th, the implications are staggering in the hands of the wrong administration, particularly administration like we have right now, mm-hmm. because that means this administration can threaten 20 years against somebody for gathering to exercise your First Amendment rights, your right to petition the government, your right to assemble. And the problem with that is then they say, well, you've got 20 years. We can put you in prison for 20 years. But if you plead to this other lower offense, we'll put you in prison for maybe 6 months to 12 months.
But they're still saying you're guilty.
But then what happens is the pressure of people because of this bully club that's over your head.
Right.
You plead to something lesser. This is a terrible example of the misuse of government and the law. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's why we filed an amicus brief in this case, because of the First Amendment implications raised by this January 6th prosecution.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.